I debated on talking about something that was a season in the past, so something that maybe I had learned. And the Spirit was like, nope, let's talk about something that you're learning right now. So as I talk today, this is more of a, I'm looking in the mirror and reading the scripture from my own heart, and this is something I'm excited about, and it's hard learning things. It's hard changing what you're doing because the Holy Spirit is trying to reshape you and sanctify you. So let's turn to Romans 6, and then while you do that, just that standing up here today, it's you never know what the Lord has in store for you. I'm a planner. I'm somebody who likes to try to come up with, where's my next step? Where am I going to be next? Back in college, I prayed a lot about, Lord, do you want me to go into full-time ministry? The Lord's like, nope, go into fisheries. So I actually moved out here in 2017, spent some time as a seasonal, and I'm like, all right, Lord, what's next? Go get your master's, which was great. Well, getting my master's was one thing. The best thing that came out of it was my wife. And then I'm like, all right, Lord, now what? Stay in fisheries. Okay, so I moved to Nebraska and did that. But I've always had this, like, Lord, why are you calling me out of fisheries? But then if you're calling me out, why don't you let me leave? So he finally did. When I moved up here, I got my master's and basically left fisheries as a biologist and work here for the game, fish, and parks, but not in the fisheries world. And the reason I share that story is it wasn't my will that was to be done. It was his. And so today the theme of dying to ourself is what the Lord put on my heart to share with you. It's a painful process. It's hard, but it's worth it. It is so, I guess a lot of freedom is found when we're not trying to live for what we desire and we just live for the Lord. So I'll just read the passage. And I hope if nothing else that you take away from this, there's going to be a lot of scripture. I'm trying to use this as an opportunity. If you're not somebody who's used to the Bible, if you're not somebody who's used to reading, maybe take this as an opportunity to learn how I would process through a passage. So we'll read the main passage, but then we're going to use a lot of other scripture to help define or expand upon some ideas brought up in Romans 6. All right, so Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What did I go to? Oh, 14. So you must also consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let no sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for the unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay, so reading this, there's a lot of talk about death, talk about life. Just starting off, this is more of a, we're talking more on the spiritual side of things. So we're going to talk, when we're talking about death, it's not me physically dying here. Yes, that'll happen someday, but this is as we live, how do we die to our sinful side and live to the righteousness that God's called us to. going back to verse 1, I broke this down into three different sections. The first section is this challenge that we have, but that's been given to us through Scripture. What shall we say then? Do we continue living in sin that grace may abound? Think about the life that you're walking with Christ. How many times have you thought about, I'll just go dabble in this. I'll just try this. God's grace has got me covered. And that's exactly what this is saying that we are not to do. By no means. We are not using grace as an excuse to be living the way that we want to live. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And so how we're being hypocritical if we're saying that we're going to be living in sin. I am going to go, party the night away and get drunk. And then the next morning I'm going to show up to church because God's grace has got me covered. Yes, God's grace covers our sins, but there should be a change in our actions, and that should reflect in the way we're living our life. Do you not know that those of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So his death has covered us, has changed us, that when something dies, something ends. And so if we're baptized into that death, there's part of us that is dead that we no longer have to live by. So then the middle section of that we just read, the glory, it's how does this work? If we're called to not be hypocrites, how does that work? We are buried therefore with him by baptism into his death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And so all this is being done by the glory of the Father. There's nothing I can do in my own heart to change what I'm doing. This is all the Lord's work in my heart. And then the last bit, the last section that this section has kind of expelled out for us is that something must die in order for something to live. And so our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Okay, so reading all this, we know that we're called to not be hypocrites, to have a changed life. This is done through the glory of God. And then the action is that we are not to be, the old self must die so the new self can live in the glory of God. So usually when I'm reading, I'm like, okay, that makes a little bit of sense, but what else can we look at to try to get a better grasp of what this looks like in our life? How do we define some of these challenging thoughts and ideas? And so my first resource is Scripture itself. And so if you're somebody that likes to run to YouTube, run to podcasts, try to just calm those desires down and just focus on Scripture. I know we've got some Bibles over there, and I believe one of them is a study Bible or a reference Bible. Use the references to help point you towards other bits of Scripture that talk about the same ideas. And so one of those is we're going to go to Romans 8:13. So for me, it's just a page flip over. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. All right, so this is talking about the same idea of death and life. But, what are we putting to death? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. So the flesh being sin. We're all born sinners. The flesh is not of God, and you will die. So you will have the spiritual death. You will not be walking with Christ in eternity. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the life of the body, you will live. So through the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so we're putting something to death behind us, away from us. We're not living by it anymore. Then we will live. And this life is the eternal life. We'll have that perspective while we're walking here on earth of the peace, of the hope that comes with knowing our eternity is with Christ. But that only happens when we let our old selves go. Another one is Romans 7:8. But sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness, for apart from the law, sin lies dead. We had the wrong one. Well, either way, there's an evil within us that needs to be put to dead, that when we move on, we're in this freedom of being able to live with Christ in this hope and in this new life that he talks about. So flip with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. Assuming that you have not heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So this is another challenge to us. We're told there's this constant comparison in all of Scripture of evil versus good, sin, the world, sinful versus God, Christ. And that same push and pull, that same conflict is happening within us every day. And so all of these different challenges that we see within Scripture and that we just read in Ephesians is another example of being encouraged to recognize that if you have the Holy Spirit within you, there's that conflict happening within you. Recognize it and put to death that old self. So assuming that you have heard of him, so talking to those following Christ, and you were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So it's not just, I'm choosing to do this, there's a change within you that's happening through the glory of God, through his spirit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. And so this is an example of what does that new self look like? How do I know if I'm being made new in my mind? How do I know? I feel like we can start to get really hard on ourselves of trying to take this on as a task, as a checklist. Yep, I did my good deeds for the week, therefore I'm covered. And God's looking at this as so much of a deeper change. Our heart's being changed, and we're being created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So likeness being, we're becoming more righteous and more holy, which can only be done through his power. But our role within that is to fight against that urge to partake and feed those sinful desires within our life. Also think of the fruit of the Spirit, the list of the fruit of the Spirit. You can use that as an example of, am I exemplifying the glory of God? So far we've talked about kind of what we're supposed to do, but it's not really showing us how we're supposed to do it. And to kind of bring this into reality a little bit, you know, God's doing a lot of work in our lives. We're supposed to recognize this push and pull or this conflict happening within us. But Scripture also can speak to us walking this out in our lives here today and like what that looks like and give us some better perspective. So turn to 2 Corinthians 4:17. For this is a light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory behind all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. in the moments of being challenged, you can feel the Holy Spirit telling you, you know, Brandon, you really need to not do that. Brandon, you really shouldn't go out hunting again this weekend because your family needs you at home. Brandon, you really should change the way you're interacting with your coworkers at work. These things hurt. It's like a friction when you're trying to walk away from your old self. So to put it into perspective, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And so putting it into perspective in that moment, man, it is a beautiful day out there. I'd love to be sitting on a boat right now. It sounds silly, but some of us can really struggle with that desire to go do what we want to do. But when you put in a comparison of eternity, like that frustration you might feel, or that little bit of a pain, maybe that loss of a friendship because of the way you changed your life, that momentary affliction is nothing compared to the glory that's to come. And so just keep yourself in the perspective of eternity and what that's doing in the long run. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are the immediate gratification, the benefits that we can gain in the here and now. Maybe you're trying to climb the job ladder. You're trying to get a higher paying job. The things that are seen are the, I get a fatter checkbook. I get more vacation time, whatever that is. The things that are unseen are what God's telling us to focus on. How are we making a difference in his name? Are we living for ourselves or are we living for him? For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You could get that big paying job, but maybe it takes you away from your family. Maybe it's not healthy for you in terms of the type of person you become because of the stress. And all that's going to go away. Your status is going to go away. Your money is going to get passed to somebody else, the government. You can't take it with you when you die. But the things that are unseen are eternal. The work you do for the Lord, that's what stays. That's what we get to celebrate for eternity. So sure, you get to celebrate that big paycheck for a family vacation once here, but you get to celebrate conversations or people that you led to the Lord, or even just that heart you had for the Lord and that praise you had for him, you get to celebrate that for eternity. So keep perspective of that. And then in Romans 8, for something, another perspective. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Same concept. Our perspective needs to continue to stay on Christ and on the eternity that is to come. And that can be challenging. And that's something that has to be happening within all of us in our hearts. We're called to be in constant prayer. That's not necessarily sitting here with our hands folded and eyes closed and head bowed all day long. That's as you walk through your life. Oh, Lord, do I take that extra 15 minutes from my lunch to have this deeper conversation with this person? Or do I take that promotion? Like, small, medium, large things that are pressed upon us every day, we need to be focusing on taking it to the Lord, asking him to guide us through those. So then if we go back to Romans 6, so in Romans 6, kind of gives us an indication of how this is all done. So we know we're supposed to, if you're somebody who knows the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit within you, I guarantee you felt this push and pull of, I should do this, I know the Lord wants me to do this, but I'm really scared. I don't know if I should step out in faith and do that. I don't know where the end is. I would rather just take the easy route and the worldly advice. I know you feel that push and pull. We've got the perspective that we should be focusing on the Lord and on the long term. But then how? I hear that a lot, especially on people that are new to this idea of communicating with the Lord. How do you actually go about making these changes in your life? In Romans 6, verse 4, we are buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This takes all the pressure off of ourself. All too often, especially me, I'm a fix-it type person. Like, I want to recognize something, and then I want to actively be involved in fixing it, and it's my job until it's done. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that on some level. It's not up to us. We need to be letting go. And I think that's a key part of when we're talking about dying to ourselves, is we're trying to hold on to those things that our identity is resting in. And we need to let go of it to then let God work in our life. So it's not so much I need to choose the right decisions to make my way to eternity with the Lord. No, I need to just let go of myself and let God have all the glory. He'll do all the work. I didn't expect to be standing up here today when I was praying to get out of fisheries back my senior year of college. I didn't even expect it, but quite frankly, I didn't really even know where South Dakota was on the map back then. I grew up in Wisconsin, by the way. It's more, the joy comes from knowing that the Lord is in control, that if you take that act of faith, let go of the things that you think are important to you, and let him show you where the true joy and true peace can be found. So then, in Matthew 16, I'm sure many of you have heard bits and pieces of this passage. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Have you ever thought about what it means to take up your cross and follow Jesus? I'm not going to sit up here and have the best theological explanation of what that is. But Jesus, picture it as Jesus walked up Golgotha carrying his cross, that cross representing all of our sins. And so if we're going to pick up our cross and follow him, we can trust that our sins were covered by him who already died the death that we should have died. And so we're letting go of our old self because Jesus already covered it. Our old self, it's dead. I didn't become a follower of Christ until my freshman year of college. And the difference between me at the beginning of that freshman year and the end was enough for my mom to go, "Brandon, how did you do it?" First off, I didn't do anything. The Lord did it all. She noticed that it was a change in speech, attitude, and the old self had died. There's still bits and pieces of the old self that try to kind of regrow or find root again in my heart, and I just have to remember to pick up my cross and follow him. My old self has died. I don't have to live by that anymore. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So if you're trying to live for yourself to save the things you find important, that you find your identity in, you're ultimately going to lose your life. You might at the end of the day you think you're going to find peace and finally got that bank account to be a certain number. I got to retire at 35, 45, and now my life is worth something because I can do what I want. That's just momentary. You can think of that perspective. You can flip it around too any momentary worldly joy we find now, it's just that, it's momentary. It's fleeting, it's going to be gone. We need to keep our eyes focused on eternity with Christ. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let go of the things that you find important and just let the Spirit guide you. So as I was thinking through a lot of these verses and this idea of dying to myself, I was like, okay, Lord, there's certain things I'm nervous to let go of because I can't see beyond that. All I can see is right. Like, for instance, I love hunting, fishing, outdoors. I would say the Lord's given me a certain passion for it, a certain skill set to enjoy it. I've always known the Lord's kept me in the outdoors and used that passion for his good. So, but then over the past year, it seems like we'll try to go a family camping trip, or I'll try to do something, try to get out hunting more or something. And things keep being cut out. A trip didn't happen. Injuries happen where I had to stay at home. My wife has a lot of on-call shifts, so then I have to not be able to go out and do stuff that I used to do because we have got a one-year-old at home. Just a lot of things. I'm like, well, Lord, if you gave me this passion and this skill, how am I supposed to embrace a skill that you've given me but then also let it go? And that's, I think, where the trust comes in. You can replace, for me, hunting and fishing, the outdoors, you can replace that with anything. Maybe you love to golf. Maybe you love to woodwork. Whatever it is, we can trust that the Lord has given me those passions. I don't think he's necessarily going to take them away, but he wants to further refine what he's given me to use for himself rather than for Brandon to use for Brandon. So that's a challenging concept, a challenging, I don't know, it hurts. I remember I got a new backcountry hot tent this past winter, and I was on a work trip to Wyoming. I'm like, sweet, I'll go test it out. I'll do my work stuff and stay an extra night in the Bighorns and get to use it, and I can come up with all sorts of reasons why this is a good idea for me. And the idea was to test it out by myself or with a buddy before I use it on a hunting trip or with the family. And the Lord said no. I had it all ready. I was there. I was in the mountains, and then there was too much snow, and we just didn't do it. But on the drive home, I'm like, that's when I just kind of broke down. Like, Lord, I don't get it. And all he just kept saying is just follow me. Just trust me. The last verses that we'll look at is 1 Peter 4, 1 through 6. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself in the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead, for this is why the gospel was preached even to those who were dead, that though judged in the flesh, the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does. When you're praying about this, reflecting on your own life, figuring out, Lord, how do I align my life more with your will for my life? He's going to have you start pushing back against some of the worldly things that you're involved in. And I'm sure you're convicted of stuff right now. This is going to be a lifelong process of constantly having this prayer. You can trust that when you feel outcasted, or people, just as First Peter says, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. They might start making fun of you, just whatever it is, making you feel, trying to pull you back into it. Use this passage as confidence that you're doing good, that you're aligning yourself more with Christ, and that it's okay if the world doesn't want to agree with you. Maybe you used to go out and party all the time, and now you're not, and now you're going to lose some friends over it. That's fine. Let them be offended by the truth and by the gospel. Don't let them be offended by your actions against them, that you don't need to say that you're better than them, but just let them be offended by Christ, and that's fine. So just keep considering your own life. Maybe it's addictions that you need to finally let go of. Maybe it's your passions, your hobbies. Those are tough ones because our world says hobbies are good, passions are good. We like to put our stamp of identity on something. I am a hunter. I am a golfer. I am whatever. Maybe it's status. Maybe you want to have the biggest house on the block because you like being looked at. Maybe it's popularity. Maybe it's climbing the ladder at work. Any of those things we can let go of. And just trust the Lord that if he's given you passions for something, that I do think, this is Brandon speaking, that I do think that he'll bring that back into your life in a more fulfilling and full way that you would not have experienced if you hadn't let that go. And then just trust that when you start getting, maybe get really excited about this. Yeah, I'm gonna go and tackle this in my life. Just remind yourself that it's not about you doing better. It's about you letting go and letting the glory of God work in your life. A quick, been kind of vague with some of the examples. What really helped formulate this in my life, I struggled all this last winter. Was very challenging for me. Just work and life and one-year-old at home and a lot going on. The Lord is teaching me how to die to myself, but I didn't know that's what he's teaching me. And maybe there's seasons in your life, maybe you're in one now, and you're like, "Why, Lord, what is happening? What are you trying to teach me?" Keep praying. He'll answer it. In a men's morning group, I was talking, sharing, and it just kind of came out. Like, I think the Lord's teaching me to die to myself. I'm like, oh, finally, I can stick my finger on it. So then through this process, I was able to start identifying areas that I needed to let go of more. And a real fun story, I'm pretty excited about it. Andrea, be thankful she's not sitting in here anymore. I had never bought Andrea a wedding band. We spent the money on a honeymoon back when we got married. And she's made a few comments like, oh, it'd be nice to have one. And that'd be it. You know, every maybe 6 to 9 months or so, she'd mention it. Oh, somebody at the clinic was like, oh, you're engaged. And she's like, no, I'm actually married. And not a huge deal, but I reached out to a jeweler that had made her first ring. He still worked at the same jeweler, and he still had her old files from the original ring. So I'm like, all right, make up a wedding band, send me the quote. At the same time, parallel to this, Andrea didn't know I was thinking through this, I was getting very fixated on a new pair of hunting binoculars. Sounds very trivial, but like I think like a lot of us, I'll get very hyper-focused on something, and I'll research it to death and like really talk, I'll like keep telling Andrea reasons why I should get something, and she's like, just stop talking about it already. And I could tell it was more like selfish than it was necessary. I get the quote back. It's almost to the dollar of what the binoculars cost. And I was like, oh, Lord, I hear you. So that I put that money from the binoculars to the ring, and I gave it to her. And, you know, It was a very small example of when you listen to the Lord and the joy you experience once you let go of the things you want and you put them on the things that the Lord wants, that joy that I got to watch her read the card, read the reasoning behind why she's getting the ring now, what I sacrificed, so to speak, to give her that ring, that joy was worth so much more than just another thing. And that's so minor compared to the joy that we can experience from a lifelong of letting go of the things we want and living with a heart focused on the eternity for the Lord. So I just encourage you, pray about it in your life. Know that it's going to be painful. Death hurts. Death is not something that is to be taken lightly. But know that Christ has already died the death that we deserve. That's the death that will really hurt. That's eternity separated from God. We don't have to worry about that anymore. So me dying to buying a pair of binoculars, perspectively, is nothing. And you can say that for a job. Maybe the Lord wants you to do a career change. Or maybe you say no to that promotion so you can be more present with your family or folks around you and have more capacity rather than being so stressed out. Whatever it is, just know that we're called to something bigger in eternity than the challenges we experience here and now. So that's all I got. I'll pray to close us, and then we can have some time to hang out and chat. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the work you're doing in all of our hearts. Lord, help us to understand what you're teaching us. Help us to be able to verbalize it. Help us to be able to find scripture that will help make sense of why you're teaching us certain things. Maybe it's patience, how to become more patient. Maybe it's how do we die to ourselves on a daily basis, on the big scale things of life, career decisions, where to move, family decisions, then also on the day-to-day stuff. Lord, help me to fight the urge to hit snooze in the morning so we can get up and spend time in your word. Help me fight the urge to stay up late at the end of the day so I have the energy in the tomorrow to spend time with you. Convict us all, Lord, and just help us to have that faith and that trust in our hearts that you are working with us, the things that you've placed on our hearts, the passions, the things that really make us excited every day, the hobbies, that you've given us those skills for a reason, but even those we can let go, trusting that they're for your glory alone. Thank you, Lord, for Harvest Church and this community, and just allow it to continue to grow in a way that's honorable to you. In your name we pray. Amen.